Hi, you've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, also known as Lovely, and I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world while raising awareness for mental health. Join me as we revisit some of my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers and interesting locals, all while following the journey to 195 countries. I'll be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. And sometimes we're even going to hit the road together. Make sure to join in the adventure by following me on Instagram, Lovely Travels. You can also join our Facebook group, Lovely Travels Community, and learn more about us at the website, lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Lovely Travels podcast. How are you today, Emma?
I am very well, Darius. How are you?
I am fantastic. I was going to make a joke about this episode making a splash, but I think you're better off starting it with just a regular introduction.
I did enjoy that play on words. But yes, we've got Leandra Swim, the business Leandra Swim, which is run by the wonderful Leandra Gaykamungu. She's an Indigenous business owner, Australian Indigenous business owner, and her beautiful swimwear I am a huge fan of.
Yeah, you've got a couple of those already, don't you?
I do. I have the Barbie Lee, which is like a long sleeve swimsuit, so very sun smart. Mm-hmm. Lovely, very high cut, bit 80s, eat your heart out. And then I've also got a gorgeous reversible bikini. And I love what Leandra does. She's not only is she got the beautiful Indigenous artwork on the swimming costumes, they're also eco-friendly. All the packaging is decomposable. And a lot of them, the materials are made from recycled materials as well. So it's really very impressive. And when I found them, I got onto. I actually saw it on SBS, which is an Australian news channel. I first saw her, and just totally wanted to get involved, like have one for myself. And yeah, I get a lot of lovely compliments when I wear it. And
it must be great proud. if you take it traveling. It's almost like an Australian flag.
Yeah, it's really lovely to a lot of Indigenous artwork was really only seen on paintings or on souvenirs and stuff in souvenir shops, and Leandra and I talk about that. So to be able to have like wearable art, and the other thing is like she's very big promoter of you know she answers the question that is this just for Indigenous women, and it's like no, this is for everyone. And you know they probably do more tailored to the women, but Darius, if you wanted to wear one of these swimming costumes, there would be no judgment. But
I do want to wear one. I was gonna mention it. I'm more of a hot pants kind of guy, but there doesn't seem to be any currently available.
Yeah, she's always mixing up the styles. It's sort of like different collections. But there's a sort of underlying message that she didn't even mean to have there, but that any culture, any shape, size, you know, however you look, you're welcome to wear these swimming costumes with pride. And I just think it's such a beautiful way to represent the Indigenous culture and to celebrate their incredible artwork and the stories. Each swimming costume has each print, each costume, each style has a story of someone, generally an Indigenous woman, that has inspired Leandra. Anyway, we're telling everything about it, so we probably should get into the episode and let Leandra tell the story for us.
Let's do it.
So I'd like to start this episode with an acknowledgement of country. I am based in the Gold Coast, Australia, and I acknowledge the Yugambeh people as the traditional owners on this land. We recognise their connection to land, waters and culture, and we pay our respects to their elders past, present and future. And now I'd like to welcome today's guest, Leandra Gaykamungu. who is from Leandra Swim. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on here. I'm really excited to, yeah, have a chat with you and see, yeah, how it's in there in the Gold Coast.
Okay. We're a bit further away. Now, tell me, yeah. where are you at the moment?
So I'm based in Milingimbi, which is a small little island off the northeast coast of Arnhem Land in the Northern Territory. And my family and I moved back here in July of this year. And yeah, so this is where home is, and I guess it always has been. This is where my family are from. My dad was born here, went to school, grew up here. So yeah, this is home.
Oh, it's amazing. So, and so you're originally from there and now you've gone back.
Yeah, so I was born in Nhulunbuy, which is on the eastern side of the Northern Territory up there on near the Gulf of Carpentaria up the top. So I was born over there and lived the first few years here in Milingimbi, and then moved to Sydney and a few places around Australia, but we'd always come back for holidays and to visit family. And yeah, so this is home. This is where my sisters are, my nieces and my brothers, well, most of them. I'm one of seven, so
wow.
Four of us are here now in Milingimbi. The other three are in Darwin. So this is where most of my dad's side of the family are.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, so when I first learned about your business, you were in Wollongong in New South Wales.
Yes. Yes. So I moved to Wollongong with my mum when I was in sort of the end of primary school, and then did high school in Wollongong, university, started Leandra Swim there, and then now nearly 3 years in, we've just moved it back up here to the Northern Territory.
And have you had any challenges with moving the business at all?
Look, I wouldn't really say huge like challenges, but as you can see, the internet in remote Australia, particularly up here in the Northern Territory, is pretty patchy. And at any given time, phone service and internet, can be out for 24 to 48 hours. So that has been a little bit challenging. And then of course with COVID, we get, our mail. So I'm an online business, so my mail has to go out through the post office here on a plane, and then it gets to a sorting centre in Darwin, and then from there, planes and dispersed across the country or across the world. So it takes sort of a few extra steps. And with COVID, there were a few sort of extra barriers as well, because sometimes planes just weren't coming because they weren't, it's passenger planes, if there's no passengers. They would just be like, oh, we'll come next week. So for a little while there, it was a bit patchy with planes as well, just logistics, shipping items in and out, which was a little bit frustrating. But, it's nothing that really, hugely impacted anything sort of long term. So, yeah, just little road bumps.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. Now, I've mentioned Leandra Swim, and I've, we've sort of mentioned it, but we haven't really talked about, I guess, how did you start it, and where did that come from?
Yeah, so Leandra Swim is a swimwear label, and it celebrates Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture and people. And it really just was born from me wanting to create something that merged all the sort of elements that I really enjoy from, my personal life and experiences. So, my family are from a little island here in northeast Arnhem Land. So the ocean is a really big part of who we are and, what we do and how we go hunting and just life. And then when my mum remarried, my stepdad's a really big surfer. So we would, spend a lot of the time at the beach surfing, swimming. So it's just a big part of who I am. And then of course, my Aboriginal culture, I wanted to be able to, I'm a teacher and I love education and I love, educating people. And I wanted to sort of do that in my own way. And so that's where I sort of use swimwear and fashion as a way to, educate and share and connect, non-Indigenous and Indigenous people.
And I love that. And I love that I've seen you post before and I've reposted that you really encourage people, like non-Indigenous people, to wear the swimwear. Like, we shouldn't feel afraid.
Absolutely.
To wear the prints, and that you have created them. And I'm sitting here with this, and obviously we'll put up photos of this beautiful, this is the Barbie Lee, isn't it?
Barbie Lee. Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, absolutely. Because the whole sort of point of it is each piece is named after a different, what I consider inspirational Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander woman. And each piece that goes out, there's a little card with a bio about that woman and what she's done, her achievements that are, not just impacting small communities, they're impacting the nation, they're impacting, the rest of the world. And so I think that's worthy of celebration, and I love to be able to sort of advocate and share these stories and hopefully help create, new role models for both Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, but also non-Indigenous people, and just really be able to share and celebrate that. And and then of course the prints. I want, Aboriginal Australia has been going for thousands upon thousands of years, and I think it is something that is able to adapt, it's versatile, it's, still here in the 21st century. And so I'm very conscious of the fact that the medium that I choose in fashion is quite a modern one as well, being swimwear. And I do that on purpose because I want to be able to say, we're still here, you can celebrate and learn about Aboriginal culture and people in so many unique ways, especially as we adapt into, the 21st century.
I think it's so lovely as well, and because when I'm going to travel in the future, I'm going to travel and take these swimming costumes with me, and I have taken them on holiday as well. And so to be able to have this Indigenous print and from Australia reminding me of home, to have that with me, I think it's wonderful. And to be able to wear it, absolutely, I love the prints. And to hear the story behind it, that's also been really, really powerful. And I'll just add as well, often when we've seen Indigenous prints, they've often been in like artwork or, for us probably more in tourist shops and things like that. But to have something that's really wearable and beautiful and stylish and still have the Indigenous print, it's really lovely.
Thank you. It is a really unique way, and I really did want to be able to, if I was passionate about sort of taking Aboriginal Australia outside of the art galleries and outside of the tourist shops, I kind of thought when I thought, oh, swimwear, I love swimwear, so I thought, maybe I'll use this as my medium. I was very conscious of the fact that it was different, and I did that, I guess, on purpose because I wanted it to prove, if I'm going to say that Aboriginal Australia is versatile, I want to show how versatile it really is as well.
And it's very important that you're an Indigenous business owner and that, this is led by you as well. And it's not somebody just taking, because I know there's been a bit of issue around sometimes people taking the prints or taking the dot style of painting and using it in other ways.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a really big movement at the moment to push people to ask, who's behind the brands. Often you don't see the faces or the people, and to ask, who's your mob? Like, who owns this business? Is it ethical? Have you, obtained prints ethically? Are you partnering? How is the partnership? So, it is absolutely, as an Aboriginal, business owner, it's great to see that, because I think there's such a big history around, people being taken advantage of, particularly those in the art, and creative space. I think that it's a long overdue push, but it's really exciting, I guess, to be a part of that movement as well. Absolutely.
Yeah, knowing where your products are coming from. And, you know, I love the fact that you include the story so that we get to be part of that. It's very clear that you have a connection to your country, a connection to your land. But also, yeah, there's a wonderful business. I think maybe you've heard of them, Utopia.
Yes,
Utopia Giftware, and they have on the back of their packaging the story, and it's actually a picture of the person, the artist that the money's going to. And I just
love it.
Yeah, I think that's really important.
It is because it takes away this idea that it's, you know, just a piece of fabric, or it's just things on your wall. It, you know, so often, or yeah, every time Aboriginal art is so much deeper than that, and it's, you know, it's who that person that painted it and who their country is and what they're allowed to paint because of who they are and that, you know, in their kinship system and their families and their communities and their clan groups. So, you know, it's a lot deeper than I guess that surface level of some, you know, pretty aesthetic that you are decorating your house with. Or and I think that's really important. It's such a great way to have those really beautiful conversations. It's a good thing, I think.
Oh,
it's funny though.
Sorry, you go.
It's funny, like, just, you know, you're talking about the food with the artwork, and so often I have to like push myself to get in front of the camera for like Instagram or Facebook, and I'm like, usually there's a million outtakes that I've done because it's quite nerve-wracking. I think, oh, I can see the, you know, analytics behind it, but how many eyes have possibly seen it? I think, oh, it's sort of an area I like to sort of stay back. But I think transparency is really important. So that's why I do sort of push to say, hey, it's me kind of behind the brand, and this is who I am and where I come from. And I'm proud of that. It's not that I hide anything. It's I just get nervous in front of the camera.
But I think that's kind of been common as well. Maybe some people have, it's not been used to being having their image out there so much and having so much attention. And so, you know, I think it's really great that, you know, young Indigenous business owners are taking that and putting yourself out there and showing us, I am here, I'm the one running this business, and, you know,
yeah,
this is my culture, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's important because, you know, there's people watching, there's young people watching, you know, younger than I am, and there's older, you know, the elders watching. And so I think it does good. I mean, I'm inspired when I see, you know, some of my friends. I'm so lucky to call people, you know, my friends, and what they've managed to do with their business, and in a whole range of spaces, you know, from active wear to homeware to bedding to it's exciting and it's really cool. I love being able to sort of see people's what they're doing and how they're doing it and all their wins along the way.
That's awesome. And I didn't realize you were a teacher, but that absolutely
makes
sense because you also have an ethical and environmental factor to your swimwear. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So I've taken quite a lot of time, you know, particularly partnering with a manufacturer. I mean, I do all my prints myself and the designs, but I outsource my manufacturing in Bali, and it did take a little bit of time to really find that right fit. Because there are quite a few manufacturers over there in Bali, and, you know, in China and different places in the world. And it's so important, you know, if I'm going to really uplift my culture and my people, I don't want to do that off the backs of, you know, somebody else's people and culture and country. So yeah, I really make sure that whenever I sort of work with any third party, it's ethical, and, you know, the proper due diligence is done to research and make sure that the right partnerships are there. So the sustainability was something that I always wanted to do. I guess it just took a little bit of time to work out fabrics, and, you know, I'm 100% self-taught, so it took time to even work out logistics, how things work and operate, and finding, you know, the right manufacturer and the right fit there. So it Yeah, it was something that it's always, you know, evolving. I would never say I'm 100% sustainable because it's something I'm always researching. It's something I'm always looking at, you know, how can I do better than what I'm doing currently, whether that be fabrics or packaging. Yeah, so one thing I'm really excited about is I've found some amazing home decompostable hygiene stickers. Awesome. So I'm really excited to, you know, I try and switch out wherever I can. I don't do swing tag labels because they just end up in the bin anyway. So, you know, every sort of collection I try and really figure out how I can just do a little bit better. And I think that's important because that's how growth happens.
I love it. And so, yeah, so they are like, and you might have to explain it to me, but so they're recyclable. The fabric is recyclable.
So the fabric I use is made from regenerated plastic. So plastic, as we know, it takes hundreds of years, you know, up to thousands of years to really break down, and swimwear fabric technology, unfortunately there aren't sort of, it's only sort of gotten so far. So one of the good ways about doing this is, yeah, there's now options to make fabric out of recycled plastics, which is what my fabric is made from. The dyes that create the prints on the fabric are also, you know, eco-friendly. So that's something that I think is also really cool. Packaging, yeah, that we use is... home decompostable, the mailer bags as well. Now I've incorporated the home decompostable hygiene stickers. So, it's sort of a slow process as I'm always looking, at ways to do things a little bit better. But, yeah. And then, you know, with the fabric as well, I'd really try and advocate, you know, on my social medias around educating around, you know, sunscreens that are damaging reefs and the oceans, as well as microplastics and, you know, some of the ways we can combat that. So one part of it is, you know, the brand and what you hold. The other part of it is as well sharing and educating, you know, across social media and my platform.
Oh, absolutely. And I think I showed my husband, who is an ocean lover, and as soon as I told him, you know, there's the sustainability piece and the eco-friendly and trying to find the best materials, he was like totally on board, as well as seeing me in a very sexy cozy. So everyone, yeah. They are a bit
absolutely
saucy, some of them, but no, they're beautiful. Not so
they
many
are great
and so flattering. And I think another thing that you do, like you, absolutely, I now understand your background, the fact that you have this education background, because I feel like you're just making so many statements with your business. Because the other thing you do is include models or pictures of people in your swimming costumes of all different shapes, sizes, you know, colours.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of funny too, because I, you know, as much as, and I'm really excited, particularly this time, my new collection, Interwoven, I've managed to go a size down to a 6 as well as a size up to a 16. And it's been a slow progress. You know, my first collection, I only had 3 sizes. My next collection, I had 4. So now I've gone from, to add 2 extra sizes. And look, it's not something I suppose actively advocate for, because, I feel like, you know, there's only so much I can share, but absolutely I care about making sure that the women I represent, you know, they feel comfortable, confident, sexy, beautiful as well. And that's what I sort of try and, the images that I try and share, you know, I want my models to be real. I want, and even, you know, the photo shoots that we do, I always just want it to feel like a couple of girlfriends down at the beach having a good time and there's a camera there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's absolutely, that's really important to me, especially I've had 3 kids. So, you know, my body isn't what it used to be, and I go through my own little struggles of, you know, loving my, you know, new shape and my new marks here and there. So I can totally relate on that level.
And I love that, and I see that in the imagery, you know, and it's obviously you would have Indigenous models as well, but I just feel like everybody looks so different and it's lovely, and the people who wear the swimming costumes, like myself, I've been on your Instagram, you know, like it's nice to see that we share a photo and be like, thank you for my cozy, and that you share us as well.
Oh, to be honest, it's probably my favorite thing. I love it when I, you know, a little notification pops up on my phone and it's so-and-so's tagged you in a photo on Instagram or on Facebook or wherever it is. And like, I love it. It's like a little surprise, like, okay, who is it? Like, oh, like, how does it fit? Like, what if, you know, did they like it? Are they happy? So it's, yeah, I think that's probably one of my like little favorite things that I don't really share, that I how much I love it.
Oh, absolutely. And when I'm out and about, and I mean, I love supporting brands anyway, so I like to tag them, but I do make a point of talking, like telling a little bit about the background, because it's like people might just look at it and go, oh, that's a cool cozy, but it's like, no, this is an Australian, you know, this is an Indigenous Australian cultural piece. Like, I'm wearing artwork, people.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that, because that's the point. Yeah, no, I love that, because, I mean, the whole point of it is, like, start conversations, and what's the best way than word of mouth? And it's not, like, I mean, it goes beyond word of mouth to, like, grow my brand. It's, like, word of mouth. You're sharing, you know, culture, you're sharing amazing stories about amazing women that are doing amazing things. So it's all of that. I think, you know, business aside, it's like, I love hearing those stories, because that's the point of it. That's really why I do what I do.
I love that. And you know, for me, like I said, I'm learning. I have a different, you know, I've had a different lifestyle in Australia, and I have a different cultural background. But to be able to, you know, this is my homeland, and, you know, the Indigenous culture is a huge part of that. And so for me to be able to learn more and to hear those stories and to be able to have it, you know, to wear something that represents it, I feel very proud. So thank you for giving us that opportunity.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you for joining and yeah, helping this movement, I guess, this little grassroots movement grow.
You're doing amazing. Now tell me, while you're living up there, are you traveling much, or do you get to travel?
Not like a heap, mainly because we did a lot of traveling, you know, right in the thick of COVID, I guess, but due to sort of like family reasons, we had to spend 6 weeks sort of quarantining, being with family, and doing a few things. So with three kids and, you know, a baby, I'm just happy to sort of stay put at the moment. We're not really planning going anywhere for Christmas. I mean, we've gone across to Nhulunbuy, visited some family over there, which was really great. It's beautiful. And then I got to, you know, sneak in a photo shoot as well. And then I just kind of want to go visit, like, you know, my family's homeland, if I get it, you know, if we can sort of organize it for the Christmas holidays, but it's wet season, so I'm not really fussed. We sort of have visited a couple of the outer islands here, and yeah, I'm just sort of happy to be here and just to chill. I'm actually, yeah, a really I mean, look, I kind of miss international travel, like a lot of people. I would love to just unwind. I love going, you know, my partner's Fijian, so yeah, it'd be cool to just, yeah, take a little international trip, but I'm totally happy to wait. No rush.
Absolutely. And I mean, yeah, maybe just after you've moved back as well, appreciating where you're living. And so do you have to fly to get to where you're living, or is, like, when you're saying you're visiting the islands, is that by like a tinny or like a ferry or...?
Yeah, so when we would go to, like, one of the homelands that I really would really like to go to is Dipiti, and that's about it. We can fly. It would be a really short charter flight, but it's about an hour and a half in the boat. One of the islands is about that we've gone to is about 20 minutes by boat, and then yeah, that's. that's about it really. Oh, and then to Nhulunbuy, it's about a 45-50 minute flight. Like we chartered a flight over. Yeah, it's really funny. Most of our travel now is by boat and or by plane, like which is kind of cool.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, forgive my ignorance of the geography up there, but are you, when you said the place before, Dipity, was it? Was that in Top End?
Yeah.
Was that the place in
No, it wasn't.
The islands, isn't it?
Yeah, Tiwi Islands, yeah, which is kind of off Darwin's. Yeah, Tiwi. So which, I've never been to the Tiwi Islands, but I know some people there, and I like it looks beautiful. I'd love to go and visit at some point. So yeah, but no, we're kind of halfway in, I guess, like yeah, no man's land. We're not really. We're about how far is it? Maybe an hour, like over an hour flight to Darwin, and wow. Then it's yeah about a 45-50 minute flight to Nhulunbuy, which I guess is the next sort of biggest place. Yes. And yeah, we're just like a really little island of like 1200 people, and like 90% of those people are like family. So,
oh my gosh, wow. And is it possible for people to just come and visit?
It is, but you do need a permit through the Northern Lands Council. So, yeah, we're kind of behind like our own, I guess, borders in a sense. And look, there's opportunities for, you know, like there's tourism opportunities along here. Like Dipity has a fishing lodge. But yeah, you do need, if you are, you know, young, or you do need, yeah, permits, and just to state, you know, why you're coming. So if that's, you know, for a fishing holiday or whatever it might be, yeah, you have to apply in advance for that.
Oh, wow. It's, you know, like I think people, we don't even realize like this is, yes, it's a massive country, Australia, and there's just so many parts of it that yeah. we don't even know about. And you know, yeah, I would not have. I'm going to have to get the map out now and have a look.
yes. It's, let me know. You can come have a visit.
Oh, that would be awesome. And just, yeah, like I said, I mean, yes, that's me being terrible with my geography. Top End Wedding was a great wedding, a great movie, and a great.
Oh, it was.
Great advertisement for the Northern Territory in that upper region that, you know, a lot of people, even a lot of Australians, wouldn't have visited.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, that movie was so good. So funny. I had a, I really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah.
Really well done.
Oh, it's, we will.
But, you know, there's some other really, there's another really great movie that's coming out, actually. I think it just did its premiere, which is High Ground. I don't know if you've seen it, like any of the sort of material advertising or anything, but you should check it out. It's sort of a little bit more, it's not a comedy,
okay.
But it does sort of share a different take, not a different take, but a different part of, you know, Australian history and sort of what happened up here on in Arnhem Land, and some of sort of those, I guess, more on the frontier wars. But like, yeah, I'm really excited to see it because I love to support, you know, small independent films as well. And it looks like a really good one.
And what was the name again?
So it's called High Ground.
High Ground. Okay, cool. I love, you know, yeah, the more stories like that, the more representation we need to, you know, and to be told, as I said, again, Indigenous led, and for us to have those out there, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. My cozy is getting a lot of, I guess, time out at the moment. It's very hot, so yeah. I'm wearing my cozy, my bikini one, most days, and so I do think of you often, and I can't wait to get my, once I'm into my next chapter, I will be getting the new range, getting my hands on the some pink and orange. I love it.
Thank you. Yeah, no, let me know and I'll make sure it arrives and there's no plane.
Special
not coming, no.
Now I'll treasure the journey as well. I'll be like, this swimming costume's been on a journey, like across.
It has. It's cool.
Thank you for all that you're doing, and enjoy your time up there. And thank you for sharing your story through the swimming costumes and with us here on the podcast.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me, Emma. And thank you for supporting, you know, Leandra Swim and helping it grow.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Already looking forward to the next one. We also have a rather extensive back catalogue for you to check out. But in the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram. That's at Lovely Travels on Instagram.
Or you can come and check us out on Facebook, Lovely Travels. That's LOVELLY. Or we would love for you to join our Facebook community with more than 500 members talking all things travel and adventure. That's the Lovely Travels community.
You can also visit our website, which is lovelytravels.com.
Or shoot us an email. We love hearing from our listeners. So please send us an email, feedback, comments, questions, whatever. info@lovelytravels.com.
And you can listen, review, subscribe, like, share, and promote our podcast in any shape, way, or form. We are on Spotify, iTunes, the internet, Google Podcasts. Everywhere where you get podcasts, you will find us.
All good podcasting locations. So tune in next time, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you then.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.